Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's August 4th, 2024, and it's been a couple of weeks since Ed and I have been together on the program. Ed, you're not here in Virginia, are you?
No, I'm actually in Washington State.
Washington State. So I'm looking at Ed through Zoom, and we're doing this via Zoom right now. And I can see him, but we're not in the same, we're thousands of miles apart right now.
Yeah.
And I would like to thank Ray Powers for putting us on the air each and every week. And the last 2 weeks, you folks have listened to a couple of sermons. For this particular study, we're going to pick up where we left off. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it, Ed?
Yes.
All right. And Ed, could you tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope?
Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. If you're in town sometimes, especially on Sabbath, you know, come stop by and join us for worship. We have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., which is basically a prayer time / Bible study. And then we have our church service on Saturday, or the Sabbath, which begins at 9:30 with a Bible study, and we have our worship hour at 11. And also Rick and Mary are doing a every other week scheduled testimony time, sharing time, prayer time on Monday evenings at 7.
Yeah, so, and all of those times are Eastern Time USA. And
right.
If you'd like the Zoom link for the prayer meeting and for the Bible study on Wednesday or Sabbath school on Saturday morning, you can email us, and you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or ed@prophecyhope.com.
And if you can't remember our name, you can just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, we want to, oh, you were going to say something, Ed. Go ahead.
We also live stream the church service on Sabbath morning.
Yes, we do. That's when we stream the, not just the Sabbath school, but also the worship. And that's right. On prophecyhope.com is the name of the website. And so you should be able to find us there. And last week, you know, sometimes people will send in a question, and I had somebody ask a question, and we answered that question before we listened to the sermon last week. And it was about the God's name. You know, we know that God's name is Jehovah, and they were asking about that being in the new, should it be in the New Testament? And so we went through that. If it's quoting from the Old Testament, then it's okay to see that in the New Testament. But otherwise, we'd be making a change to Scripture that we probably
right.
shouldn't be making.
Right.
So yeah, if you have any questions, any Bible questions, we don't always have all the answers, do we, Ed?
No, not at all.
But we will look in the Bible and see if we can find those answers for you. And sometimes people ask a question and we just have to say, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And so, and that's just how it is. So let's see, is there any other business that we need to take care of before we get started?
We have a prophecy series coming up in September.
That's right. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And it's going to be 6 lectures, and I don't have my handbill in front of me right now. I'm in my home office, so I'm kind of out of sorts here a little bit. But one of the topics I think it's entitled, What Did Jesus Say About, right?
Yeah, and the topic, whatever the topic
whatever
is.
Whatever the topic is, yeah.
It's who God is, who Jesus is.
Yeah, the Holy
the
Spirit.
Sabbath.
Yeah.
Diet.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else.
The
was
Ten
on.
Commandments, death,
yes.
And hell. Those are some of the topics that we're going to be covering.
Right.
And, you know, some of these things, you're going to find that the Bible doesn't always teach what we have thought it teaches. You know, sometimes I went to a church that taught things, and I believe what the church said, and I found that the Bible said something different.
Right.
And I think that the vast majority of us, when we see what the Bible says versus what our church says, it can make us a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we have to make some changes sometimes. So, well, Ed, I'll tell you what, to get us started, would you have an opening prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time we can spend together studying your word and to learn more about the plan of salvation that you've provided for us through your son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to know these things, to be able to apply them to our lives, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, the last time we were in the studio together, we were talking about the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And we find that in Matthew chapter 6, and we were just going through part by part. And one of the last things that we talked about was, give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
And you made an interesting comment. I just thought it would be good to kind of recap that. I asked you the question. I said, can you think of a time in the Bible where God provided daily bread for his people? And do you remember what you said?
Yeah, it was the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. God provided them bread, but he didn't necessarily do it every day. He provided every day, but he didn't provide every single day. I know that's confusing.
Well, I think what you're
Why don't
saying
we
is
go to Exodus
that's
16 and read
easy.
about that?
Let's do that. That'll be good. And I'm just going to grab my Bible here. In fact, I've got it. Since I'm sitting in front of my computer, I'm going to do something I don't normally do when we're on the air. I'm going to use my computer here. So Exodus chapter 16, I believe, is where this begins. And
Right.
on the computer program here, I'm using Bible Gateway. It says bread from heaven is the heading there in Exodus 16.
Right.
So, Ed, did you want to just start here? Do you want to read in beginning in verse 1?
Yes, and maybe I'll just read through verse 5 to
Sure.
start with.
Sure.
This is the modern King James Version of Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4. Then Jehovah said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from the heavens for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, it shall happen. They shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather day by day."
Okay, so this is interesting to me. God had just saved these people through the Red Sea. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. And how ungrateful,
Right.
What did you bring us out here to let us die? Did you bring us out here to kill us? We want the food that we had when we were in Egypt. And Ed, do you think that that food was things that was approved by God, the Egyptian foods, a lot of them?
Probably not. It was talking about when we sat by the flesh pots
Right.
and we ate bread to the full. I'm not sure what all they ate in Egypt, but chances are it was unclean what
Right.
the Egyptians provided for them.
Yes, it's very likely that it was biblically unclean meat. And there was probably some clean meat mixed in with it, but
Right.
and so it's interesting here. God says, in the New King James verse 4, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go gather it a certain quota every day. And then he gives them details as to how much he wants them to take later on.
Right. Let's continue reading the story. You want to continue with verse 6?
Sure. Let's see. You just stop me when you want me to stop.
All right.
So I'm reading from the New King James. It says, then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that Jehovah has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of Jehovah, for he hears your complaints against Jehovah. But what are we that you complain against us? Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when Jehovah gives you meat to eat in the evening. And in the morning, bread to the full. For Jehovah hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against Jehovah. So any thoughts there, Ed?
You know, it's interesting that sometimes as Christians, our job to proclaim the gospel, and we get resistance. And really the resistance is against the message that the Bible is teaching, that we're trying to share with others, the way of salvation, the way of eternal life. It's the message that people are against, but sometimes we take it so personally, like it's against us.
I am guilty of that for sure, you know, because I guess I expect, especially people you know, you expect them to believe what you're telling them, right? Especially if you're showing them from the Bible.
Yeah, reading the words on the page to them.
Exactly. So let's see. Let's continue here. You ready to go?
Yes.
Verse 9, is that where we're picking up here?
Yes.
Then Moses spoke to Aaron. Now, Aaron, just so people know, Aaron is Moses' brother.
Right.
And he'd also eventually he became the high priest, didn't he?
Yeah, and they're both of the tribe of Levi.
Okay, that's also an important fact. So verse 9, it says, then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Jehovah, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Jehovah appeared in the cloud. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Jehovah your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which Jehovah has given you to eat. This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Did you want to keep going, or do you want to stop here?
Let's just stop here for a second. Verse 15. They didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which Jehovah has given you to eat. We're going to look at a different application of that in a few minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Which has to deal with the gospel. But let's continue here.
Just a little fact real quick. I just want to throw this in there. This, when it says, when they said, what is it? You know, we know that eventually this is called manna. And the word manna means, what is it? Isn't that interesting? So they didn't know what it was. And the other thing, I just thought this was kind of funny. When it says in verse 14, it says it was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. I think the NIV says they were flakes that were frosted.
Frosted,
so that's
flakes.
Frosted flakes. They're
yeah.
Great.
Maybe that's where that came from.
God provided. So where were we? I'm sorry.
Let's start in 16.
Okay. Did you want to read? Or you want me to read?
Yeah, I can read. This is, again, this is the modern King James.
Sure.
This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded, each man gathering of it according to his eating, an omer for a head, according to the number of your souls, each one shall take for those who are in his camp. And the sons of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they measured with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little lacked nothing. They gathered each one according to his eating. Isn't that interesting? It didn't matter how much they gathered, they had enough.
Yes.
They didn't have too much, and they didn't have too little. Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. And it became rotten with maggots and stank, And Moses was angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, each man according to his eating. And then the sun became hot, it melted. And it happened on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, "This is that which Jehovah has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath to Jehovah. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and that which remains over, lay up for you to be kept till the morning." And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses said, and it did not stink, neither were there any worms in it. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to Jehovah. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there shall be none." So this is what I was trying to explain with words that didn't make any sense. God provided food for them every day,
Right.
but he didn't provide it every day. They
Yes.
were to gather twice the normal amount on the sixth day or Friday, the preparation day, because he wouldn't provide any on the Sabbath day because it was the day of rest.
Yes. So this is and all of these things I want you to notice took place. You know, we see that the Ten Commandments weren't written in stone till later on. And God hadn't verbally announced it. It's not recorded in the Bible that the commandments were verbally announced yet. But here he's telling them, and he says, "I want to see if they're going to keep my law or not," he said earlier on. So
Right.
this law must have existed in order for him to see if they were going to keep it or not.
They were at least keeping the Sabbath day here. I
That's
mean,
right.
it didn't begin when God gave the commandments on Mount Sinai.
That's
They were
right.
already keeping it before.
Absolutely. And we can see that. And in fact, did you stop at the end of 26?
I did.
Okay. Were there any other comments there in this section that you
No,
had?
let's go ahead and keep reading here.
Okay. It says in verse 27, "Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And Jehovah said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for Jehovah has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day."
If you notice verse 28, he says, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandment or commandments?"
Commandments, it's plural in my
Yeah.
Bible.
So it
Yeah.
wasn't just talking about the Sabbath day.
That's
It
true.
was talking about all of God's commandments and all of his laws.
And just a little clarification here. Sometimes people will read this where it says in verse 29, "Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." It doesn't mean they couldn't go out of their homes. But it's talking in the context of looking for this manna. You were
Trying
supposed
to
to do that the
gather
day before.
food, yeah.
Right. You were
And if
supposed to do
they
it the day before.
didn't do the double amount on Friday, the preparation day, they wouldn't have any to eat on Sabbath.
Right. So the beautiful thing about this, Ed, is that every other day, if they gathered too much, it said that they would have worms or stink.
Right.
If they kept it over till the next day. But on the preparation day or Friday, as we know it, when they gathered twice as much, God preserved it through those Sabbath hours so that they wouldn't have to go out and get it.
Right.
And you know, I don't know about you. I can speak for myself. I have found that when I recognized, because I didn't grow up keeping the Sabbath as a holy day, but once I realized that and I started doing it, it just seemed like life was better. Things worked out better. My time management was better. God provides things to where I can actually keep that day holy and I don't have to infringe upon it at all. He
Right.
makes a way for us to be able to get
Right.
through that time, just like he did then.
You know, in today's world, it's still good to prepare for the Sabbath.
Yes.
And when I was working full time, especially When the sun sat on Friday evening early, like maybe 5, 5:30, I would do my preparation on Thursday evening because I wouldn't have time on Friday. And just so people are aware, the Sabbath is from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset.
That's right. From sundown to sundown. That's what the
Right.
Bible teaches. And in fact, if you've read the Genesis account, it always says there was evening and morning the first day. So when the sun sets, this day has ended and the next day has begun.
So preparation for the Sabbath for me would be basically cleaning my house, being prepared. And if I was going to have something to eat that versus a sandwich, something that would take preparation, I would prepare it on Friday before Sabbath. Like if we're having fellowship meal, I would prepare those things before the Sabbath began.
Yes. One of the examples that I give a lot of times when I'm witnessing to people about the Sabbath is, a lasagna to prepare a lasagna takes quite a bit of work. It takes some
Right.
time, but you can prepare it and you can bake it the day before, and then the next day, you have it in the refrigerator. You can cut a piece out and put it in the microwave and just warm it up a little bit. And so
Right.
all the preparation, all of the work is done.
Right. Yeah.
And
Let's finish this section by reading verse 31. Do you want to read that for us?
sure. It says, "And the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." That sounds really good.
Yeah.
So I have a sweet tooth, Ed. You know that. I
Yeah,
love sweet things. So
right.
any thoughts about this before we move along to the next part?
Yeah, I want to go back to verse 15.
Okay.
And this is what it says in the modern King James. And when the sons of Israel saw, they said each one to his brother, "What is that?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which Jehovah has given you to eat." Now, this is a physical application of God giving them something physically to eat to sustain their life,
Right.
because without it, they would die without any food in the wilderness. But
Absolutely.
there's a spiritual application about this that we can find in the Gospel of John. And
Okay.
if we go to John, chapter 6, we'll see this applied spiritually. And
Verse
if we go
22.
to, yes, if we start in verse 22, Mark, do you mind starting reading that section for us?
Not at all. Now, what's interesting, Ed, you took us right from Exodus to here. So I think I told you in Exodus, my Bible program says bread from heaven at the beginning of chapter 16.
Right.
And here it says the bread from heaven in John 6,
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
So, all right, so 22 through what verse? Just, you want to just
First,
stop?
let's go through 29.
Okay, here we go. This is, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks.
Go ahead and stop here.
Sure.
There's a couple of things happening here before this that will maybe help people understand what's being talked about.
Okay.
Before this, Jesus had been preaching at the side of the sea, and the disciples left in a boat to go over to the other side. But Jesus didn't go with them. But in the section in John 6 before this, it talks about Jesus walking on the water, that Jesus had walked on the water out to where the disciples were in the boat. And so
That's right.
that's why this verse 22 is talking about Jesus did not go with his disciples in the boat. The
Okay,
other
that.
thing that's being talked about here in John 23 is that there's an account where Jesus had been preaching to a multitude of people, and they had been there, and the disciples were concerned because they hadn't had anything to eat. And so Jesus provided food for them to eat.
Okay, very good. That helps a lot to have that clarity. So let's see, where did I stop there?
Verse, let's continue with verse 24.
24. Okay, it's John 6:24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him." And they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent."
So, they wanted to know what they should do that they might work the works of God. And it's very simple. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus talking about himself, the Son of God. And it's really that simple today. We need to believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom God has sent into the world. To provide salvation for us.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And it is that simple. Salvation is that simple. And also knowing who Jesus is, knowing his identity.
Right.
Right?
Let's continue on in verse 30. I'll go ahead and read this section, Mark.
Okay.
Again, this is the modern King James. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign do you show them that, so that we may see and believe you? What do you work?" Now remember, this is after Jesus had been preaching to them and he provided food from a little boy's lunch.
Right.
And he provided food for 5,000 people, plus, all the women and children. And they're asking him, "So what sign do you show then so that we may see and believe you? Or what do you work?" Verse 31, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." We just read the account of that in Exodus 16.
We sure did.
Verse 32, "Then Jesus says to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.'" Of
That's
course, Jesus is
beautiful
talking.
phrase.
Yeah, he's talking about himself. First of all, Moses didn't give him this bread. It's Jehovah, the Father of Jesus Christ, that gave him that bread.
That's right.
But, he's also saying, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." And it's Jesus is talking about himself. Do you want to continue in verse 34?
Sure. And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will..." Yes, I'm sorry, let me read that again. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day."
Verse 35 is interesting. Remember, Jesus started this sermon in John chapter 5. And Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life." I'm not in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And he was preaching in that sermon, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. And now Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he believes in me shall never thirst. Of course, this is a different time period when Jesus was preaching in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, but he's referring to that here. And he's talking about himself. He's the one that will fill our hunger for righteousness and our thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
And verse 37 is so reassuring. The one who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. What was happening during Jesus' time on earth, as he was preaching in to the Jews, that the Jews that believed on him were often cast out of the synagogue. And he says, anyone who comes to me, I will not cast you out. You know, that happens today too in churches today. People
Yes, it
that
does.
believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that believe the words on the page, can be cast out of their church if they start sharing with others what they found the Bible to say.
Very true. Yeah, and we have seen this happen firsthand.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I love this too in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Yes.
So Jesus here as a man recognizes that sometimes his will may not be to do what the Father wants him to do, but he always does what the Father wants him to do.
Right. And the same with our lives. We need to understand that the Bible is kind of a guidance in our life, how to live our lives, and that sometimes we don't want to do the things that the Bible says, but really it's for our own good, for our own happiness, for our own eternal life.
Amen. It is. So let's see. Let's pick it up in verse 39. I'll read that again if that's all right.
Sure.
It says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Any thoughts there, Ed?
This is that bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the one that provides the eternal life. God has sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believes on him should have life.
Yeah, he actually continues with this, doesn't he, in the
Yes.
next verses. So yeah, and the thing is, there's a lot of, it's amazing how many doctrines that many Christians misunderstand that Jesus says, and we're not listening to the words when he says, "I will raise him up at the last day." It's
Yes.
saying that when I die, I'm not raised up at that moment. I'm not raised
Right.
up until the resurrection, until Jesus
Right.
comes back. So.
Yeah, there's so many verses that we could share. Offhand, I can think of John 14, where Jesus says, don't be afraid, do not worry, that I'm going to my Father's house. And if I go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And when I come again, I will receive you that you can be where I am. You
Amen.
know, that's when we're with Christ, when he comes back again.
Amen. And we reference that at the close of every program, don't we? We reference that. So, and from 1 Thessalonians. So I guess we pick up here in verse 41.
Sure.
You want me to read or you want to read?
I'll go ahead and read here. This is again, it's the modern King James. Then the Jews murmured about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How does this one say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur with one another. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I said you, he who believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This bread, which comes down from heaven, so that man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And truly, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which will I give for the life of the world. You
Boy,
know,
there's a lot here.
we have a Christian service that really represents this well. See, some people may know of it as a communion service, the Last Supper, memorial. There's many names that people have for this. It's where we partake in symbolism of bread and partake in symbolism of grape juice, which the bread represents the body of Christ, which was, broken on the cross for us, and his blood that was shed for us. That's how we, in symbolism, partake of Jesus Christ, the bread of life.
Amen. So, and it really shows that we have faith in what he did for us, that he is the bread from heaven.
Right.
You know,
That we
and
have life through the gift of his life. That's how we have this opportunity for eternal life.
Amen. You know, the other thing here, when I backed up, I highlighted this on my screen, where in verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? You
Right.
know, it's amazing that the Pharisees had put so little importance on Jesus and who he was, because he was the son of this carpenter guy, you know,
Right.
this nobody, and so they'd taken all the emphasis off of him. Well, today what people do is they take it the other direction, and they make him co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. But Jesus, over and over again, says, "I don't do my will; I do the Father's will. I speak what the Father tells me,"
Right.
and it shows that he is subordinate to the Father. Yet he is still the divine Son of God.
Even the miracles that Christ did, he did through the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of his Father. He didn't do it of himself. That's why he says, it is important that I leave you because you'll do greater works than what I've done.
Yes. And then to make this comment here, when he says, I am the bread of life, you know, you can imagine how offensive that would be to a Pharisee
Yeah, I'm
hearing
sure
this.
he's already referenced. So he's referencing this account or this history of the nation of Israel, where they were fed from God by heaven from this manna.
Yes.
Otherwise, they would have died. And he's saying, "I am the bread of life. If you don't partake of me, you're gonna die eternally."
And you better believe that every Jew that was there knew and understood what he was referencing.
Right.
Every single one. This is their heritage. These are things that they have passed down for generations. So naturally, the religious Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they knew and understood. And even the rank and file people that were just going to the temple service, they knew and understood. They well knew who Moses was. They had all of these accounts recorded for them. So
Yes.
Jesus' statements to some people could have been very offensive and very bold in their minds.
It's interesting. We'll see as we continue this story that these things were offensive to them, and that even some of his followers were offended by these things
That's true.
and stopped following him. Let's pick up in verse 52. Can you read from there?
Sure. John 6:52, it says, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
This is so interesting. There's so much here. Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live through the Father, Jesus' life is because of the Father, because he's
Amen.
the Son of God. He who partakes of me shall live by me. From this gift that God has given us of his Son. Now, someone who's listening may say, how can I eat of Christ's flesh and how do I drink of his blood? What is that talking about? Doesn't make any sense.
Right. That is offensive when you say that, especially to a
Right.
Jewish person, because they knew that cannibalism and eating human blood was against God's law.
Right. So when we partake of Christ's flesh, it means we're accepting the gift of his sacrifice, the gift of his death on the cross. That was the penalty that was paid for my sins so that I can be reconciled to the Father. The gift of his blood not only covers my sins, but blood represents life in the Bible. And
Yes.
I need to partake of Jesus' life now, the life that he's living, because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into my heart, crying, Abba, Father, Galatians 4:6. So we can experience the overcoming of sin in our lives, that
Amen.
Jesus sets us free from sin.
Yes, so when Jesus is saying these things about eating the bread and drinking the blood, like you mentioned a moment ago, Ed, there's a service that many churches have, which we would call communion or the Last
Right.
Supper. And so that bread being unleavened bread, it should be unleavened bread. And what's the reason for unleavened?
Because leaven represents sin. So unleavened is without sin.
Right.
Jesus Christ came on this earth, was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. That's in Hebrews 4, the end of the chapter.
Yes. And then there was the cup that had juice in it, and it was likely grape juice,
Right.
and that represents the blood of Christ.
Right.
And
That was
so,
shed to cover our sins. But
amen.
also represents the Christ life that he also wants to now live within us to help us overcome sin.
Yes, there's a Bible text that, and I don't know where it is. I could probably find it very quickly, that says the life is in the blood.
Yes.
And we could certainly say in a very meaningful way that our eternal life is in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So it's really important that, when we read these texts, Jesus instituted this for a reason. He did this because it's a way that we can show that we have faith in what he has done for us. We
Right.
have faith in the fact that he came and he gave his life for us, and that he lives again, because in fact, there's a text that says, "Drink it, drink all of it," right?
Right. Yeah.
And so, what we need to do is we need to have Christ's blood, and that's the only way, because he is the living Christ. We can have, like you said just a moment ago, from Galatians, we can have Christ dwelling in us.
Right. We need all of Christ in our lives in order to live life according to the way God intended.
Amen. Amen. So this is, there's so much meaning. We started off here, and I know we're not finished, but we started off here in Matthew chapter 6, where we were talking about bread from heaven. And
Yes.
then we ended up back in Exodus, and we see that all of these things, God was laying a foundation for them. He was
To give
laying a
them
found,
understanding, yeah.
yes, he was laying a foundation for those people who had been, they had been in bondage. They had been held captive for 430 years, and he was freeing them, and he was giving them freedom and pointing to the plan of salvation and the bread of life. He was providing it for them, not just literally, but also in a symbolic way, pointing to the Son that he was going to send. And
Yeah,
so,
well, Go
Go
ahead.
ahead, go ahead.
When we think about today that the human race is in bondage, we're
Yes.
in bondage to sin. And God has given us life through his son, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, to
Amen.
experience forgiveness of sin, to be reconciled to the Father, to experience a change in life, to be set free from sin through the life that Jesus wants to live within us.
Amen. And so this is why it's so important. Those people, God was making a provision for them. He sent them bread, and they were saying, well, that's not enough. That's not good enough.
People are still saying that today.
Yes, they are. And they're saying, well, what you're providing isn't good enough. So what do? They make it the way they want it to be. They
Right.
turn it into something that they want it to be, rather than just accept what God has provided. It means we can live forever with him. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
let's continue here in John 6, just a few more verses.
Sure.
In verse 59, it says, he said these things in the synagogue as he talked in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is actually Jesus' central location. After when he started his ministry, he moved and started living in Capernaum, which is
Okay.
on the seashore of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee. And he's teaching in the synagogue. So there's probably the majority of people in there are of the Jewish nation.
Sure.
In verse 60, it says, when they had heard, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? These are his followers that are saying these things.
Yeah, can you imagine that? They were walking with him, and he's been with them for a while, and they don't understand what he's saying.
Right. The same thing applies today. We can have Christian, very, very devout followers of God and His Son Jesus Christ. But when they read some things in the Bible that go against what they've been taught, they have a problem with it. It's offensive to them.
Yes.
And then they stop following the Word of God.
That's true.
Let's
I was just going to
continue on
say,
in verse.
real
Yeah, go
quick, I
ahead.
was just going to say, when they say this is a hard saying, who can understand it? I hear that a lot. Well, how can we understand God? Well, he gives us his scripture so that we can understand God.
Right.
No, we don't know everything about him, but he gives us what he gives us is more than enough. It's more than
Yes.
enough. Go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's a little different communicating here
It
online
is.
versus in person.
I can see
Verse
you, but it's not the
61.
same.
Yeah. Verse 61. But knowing in himself, this is talking about Jesus, that his disciples murmured about it, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you should see the Son of Man going up from where he was before? Remember, as we were starting out this section of scripture, they were saying, how can this man say he came down from heaven? We know who his father is. We know who his mother is. He's the son of Joseph.
Right.
And so he was saying, if that offends you, what will you say when you see the Son of Man going up from where he was before? Talking about his return to heaven after his death and resurrection.
Right.
Verse 63, it is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. Why does he say that? Because all the words that he speaks are the words his Father has given him to speak. The Spirit of God in him is giving him these words to speak. Verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. And who is the one betraying him? And because of this, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it was given to you of my Father. From this time, many of his disciples went back into the things behind and walked no more with him. It
Wow.
says many.
Yeah, the many. Yeah, it doesn't tell how many, but many is will be a large number.
Right. Then in verse 67, then Jesus says to the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have known that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
So when we have started out with the Lord's Prayer, and we have gotten to the section where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." God provides our daily bread in terms of physical food that we eat. He
Yes, he
provides
does.
those things for us, but he has also provided the bread of his Son that we can partake of daily to experience eternal life through him.
Amen. This is such a beautiful account. When we look at these things and we read through this, and it really adds a lot of meaning to what God was providing for his people there coming out of bondage, right?
Right.
And like you said,
Yeah.
we are in bondage to sin, but we don't
Yes.
have to be if we accept Christ Jesus.
Right. If we eat the bread of heaven, partake of his body, eat his flesh, drink his blood. Yes.
Amen. Amen. So this is why it's so important, friends, that we study these things, that we read God's word, that we know Jesus Christ, that we know who he is.
Yes.
Because so many people have they believe something about Jesus that is not biblical. Many Christians believe that. I would like to point to one more thing, Ed, if I may.
Sure.
We've got about 5 minutes here, and it shouldn't take that long. But one of the things that I mentioned when we were studying a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about this manna, this bread from heaven, it's a beautiful thing when we look at the preparation day and the fact that what day do we understand that Jesus died on when we
He
read the
died
accounts?
on the sixth day, the fr a Friday.
Yeah, he died on a preparation day. He actually,
Right.
and that was actually, he actually died, it was on the Passover. Right?
Right.
And so here he dies before sunset on a Friday. And we know that he was in the tomb all through the Sabbath hours. And we know that he was resurrected Sunday morning, first day of the week. The Bible is very clear on that.
Right.
So to me, when I view this and when I recognize this quite a few years ago, it was just, it really gave me so much more faith because God there in the wilderness, he was showing them. He was giving them a prophetic view of what Jesus would do to them by providing that manna on a daily basis. Not only what we just read here in John chapter 6, but he was pointing to the fact that Jesus would give his life on the preparation day. The bread of heaven would die on that day. And when they collected twice as much on that day, it was preserved through the Sabbath hours so that they
Right.
would have sustenance or food for that day. Well, Jesus was crucified on a Friday. He spent 24 hours in the tomb on Sabbath, and he was resurrected Sunday morning. Through those Sabbath hours, the Bible says his flesh did not see corruption.
Right.
This is the same type of thing we see with the bread from heaven that God provided there. So
Yeah.
when we look at this prophetic view from Exodus, and then we look at what it says in the Bible about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we find that the Sabbath is not only an ordinance of creation because God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, but it's also an ordinance of redemption.
Yes,
The
yes.
Sabbath is a creation ordinance and a redemption ordinance. It's beautiful when you think about it that way.
You know, Mark, some people may l listening, and when we were talking about the Sabbath, they may say, "This is a hard saying. Who
Right.
can hear it?" They may be offended by that.
Sure. That's very true. It was a major adjustment in my life because many of you have heard me say probably in the past that, having a business, that was my busiest day, and I had a decision to make. Do I trust God? Do I trust his will? He says that he will never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And so I had to put my trust in him, just like Jesus had to put his trust in his Father. It was our example. So we have about a minute and a half, Ed. Do you have any closing thoughts?
The bread of life, it's important for me personally to be in God's word daily, to partake of that bread of life, to, talk with God, talk with Christ, invite them into your life daily. Invite the Spirit of Christ into your life daily. It doesn't have to be a one-time thing. Often we need to refresh ourselves spiritually every day.
Amen. And the other thing is part of that is talk with God daily. We started off looking at the Lord's Prayer and the things that he had prayed. We can talk to God on a daily basis, and it doesn't have to be long. Just check in with him. Thank him for the things that he provides. Thank him that you woke up this morning and you put your feet on the ground and you can walk, and some of us may not be able to walk, but if you have your awareness, eventually you will be able to walk. This is a promise Jesus made. Just like he healed in the New Testament, he will heal us in the future.
If you have a problem in your life, bring it to God. Ask him for direction. Ask him to help you solve this issue, or have him solve it.
Yes, that's right. He will solve it. If not now, it will happen later. So, we're out of time, Ed. This has been great. This worked out really well. So hopefully, if you're still away next Sunday, we'll do this again for next week. And so before we close, let's just have a word of prayer, shall we?
Amen.
Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to just open your word and see the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this provision, and we just see through for thousands of years, you have made this provision known to your people, and we're grateful that we know now. We ask that you will please be with us until we come together again. Father, we ask that those who are listening will apply these things in their lives and that they'll come to know you and your Son. So please guide us, protect us, and please bless us until we come together again. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we hope to see you again next week right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.